scene. For it, the elders, for by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars in the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Richard. As we continue now today, we are once again looking at the spiritual element called faith, and especially looking at what it means to be of the faith of those listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible opens up this story of faith. It reveals to us what faith means, and it opens our vision to what faith is all about. So let us today come and look again and remind ourselves at what it is that God is trying to teach us as a people of faith. We know in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And Abraham actually told us that situation. Abraham actually revealed to us what that looks like. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, we read these words. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he would receive as an inheritance. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place he would receive as an inheritance. And the question we've got to ask is, what does this faith look like? What does this faith mean when we see it revealed through the book of Hebrews? We see firstly that the faith is a faith that Abel had. It's when we hear the word of God, and then when we obey the word of God, and then when we act on the word of God. You see, the faith of Hebrews chapter 11, what makes these men and women so significant is they were men and women who understood that faith wasn't just an idea. Faith was something real, and in obedience to God, faith became an action. Faith in action. They were ordinary people. They were ordinary people who understood and obeyed God, who heard the word of God, believed the word of God, and then acted on the word of God. You see, there's a difference between religion. Religion says, I am going to work hard to try and get to that place where God wants me to be. I am going to work hard to try and be that person. But no, that's not the action that faith is talking about. The action that faith is talking about is a action of obedience to the word of God. It's not my deciding. It's not what I decide has to happen to make me religious. It's listening to what God says I should do and then acting on it. Martin Luther said this. He said that faith saves us alone. We are saved alone by faith. We just need people to calm down at the back there and settle down, please. Thank you. We are saved alone by faith. And as we are saved alone by faith, what happens is that faith saves us. But Martin Luther also says the faith that saves us is never alone. The faith that saves us is never alone. So what is he saying? He's saying that when we find faith, we will obey God and faith will become an action. The works that we find will be works that God has given us to do, and we will find our place into that place of doing God's works, not our works. Okay, so how does that all happen? How does that all come together? Well, it comes together when we see the example of those listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel was a man of faith. And when Abel heard what God wanted, a sacrifice, he listened to God, he understood the kind of sacrifice that God wanted, and in faith he bought the right sacrifice. It was an action that came from faith and an understanding that the sacrifice needs to be a lamb, the Lamb of God. Enoch was the same. Enoch was an ordinary man, like you and me. He just loved God. He wanted to please God. He wanted to walk with God. And because he built that relationship and he heard the relationship with God, he heard the word of God, and he walked with God and was obedient to God, he, Enoch, walked so close to God that one day he was not. God just took him with him into heaven, and the faith became an action. An ordinary man who walked with God one day was so close to God that he became someone in action. His faith became an action, and God responded to it. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. Not a religious faith. Not a faith that says, a religious action that says, by being a good person, by doing something I think I should do, I will get to God. No, it's by coming to God and listening to the word of God and following God's direction, our works will become faith in action. That's the power of Christian faith. Faith in action is what we are doing because God has called us to do it. That's the difference. We see the same in Noah. Noah was a person who was, again, an ordinary father who tried and loved God and who God called and told to build an ark. And it took him 100 years to do what God had told him to do. But he did it because he believed the word of God and he obeyed the word of God, and his action was doing the work that God had called him to do, building the ark. Faith in action. We are all called to be like Abel. We are all called to be like Enoch. We are all called to be like Noah. And what it is we need to find it out, what God is calling us to do, to be ordinary people, obeying the word of God, producing faith in action, which is powerful, which makes the difference and makes someone different from being an ordinary person to being an extraordinary person. So the work we do doesn't save us. It's in relation to God's salvation in us, but it's the work that God has called us to do nevertheless. We see in Abram that he was, again, an ordinary person, just an ordinary person who listened to God. So what does faith in action look like for us today here in the 21st century? What does faith in action look like in the year 2020? And how do we engage? How do we seek to serve God like Abel, like Enoch, like Noah, like Abraham, ordinary men who became extraordinary in the power of God's salvation? How can we follow in their example? Because that's why Hebrews chapter 11 is so important. It's there for us to follow their example. It's there for us to say, look, they were amazing people. They were ordinary people who became amazing because they obeyed God and did what God called them to do. Their faith became faith in action. Now, how do we learn from that? How do we become people a little bit like the people who were listed in Hebrews chapter 11? Because that's what God wants us to be. That's why they are there. They're there to inspire us and encourage us and motivate us to be people of faith in action. So when I think about it, what does it look like? Well, in my individual life, as I look back, I thank God for the days when he called us, me and Judy, to go to a place where he said we want to build a school, and where together with those who were called to that vision, we were able to see a piece of land, and we'll show you, if we can, some pictures here right now of what it looked like. Because before we got there, Petra was simply just a simple field. And that's the top picture on the top right there. It was simply a bush field. There were trees, there was long grass, and there was nothing else. And today you look at that, you'll find that there is a college going all the way from KG1 to A level, producing amazing results. And as you see what has occurred in that amazing college, is you're seeing the results of faith in action. It's what ordinary people, when they come together and seek to obey what God has called them to do, a result comes from it. We become ordinary people who, by God's grace, are able to achieve extraordinary things. And so even today, God is calling us to hear and to obey and to build and to follow what he's called us to do. The next picture was a very similar picture, one of those ladies who we know so well, who was called to leave London, to go to Zimbabwe, and whose heart, when she picked up children who were without parents, who were lost, had nowhere to go, she had a heart, a desire to love them and care for them. And it was as if God said to her, I want you to build forever homes for these children. This was an ordinary girl. If you had known Jenny Hensman before she left, like I knew her when I met her first in London before she ever came to Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, she was just an ordinary member of the church like you and me. Yes, she had an enthusiasm. Yes, she wanted to serve the Lord. But she was just ordinary. She could have been like any one of us, just another kid in London serving the Lord, wanting to serve him. But God called her to be obedient. He called her away into a new place, and she obeyed. She followed what he said. And there he called her to do something amazing, build an amazing village for children who had no parents, who needed a forever home, and Harvest Family Village was built. And so that's what faith in action looks like in 2020, right there. Somebody from Clapham Baptist Church called to serve the Lord, obeys him, steps out in faith, and does the work that God has called them to do. And you think, well, that's, you know, quite unique. That's happening in Zimbabwe, these big schools and the Harvest Village, and it's all happening in places that God is blessing them. But what about here? What about now? What about us here in London? And that brings us to the third picture. Because here in this sanctuary, in this beautiful sanctuary that God has blessed us with, we too are called to be men and women of faith in action. And we are seeing, as we look at that beautiful sanctuary, a visible result of those who came before us in East Hill Baptist Church, who once were also called in faith to establish a beautiful church here in this beautiful area of London. And there was nothing here before they came, and before they obeyed, and before they started to build this church, and then again rebuild the church when the first one got so old it needed to be redone. That is faith in action. But it doesn't just stop there, because that church isn't just the building. We know that. This is taught us that. Those of us online today know that. That is not just the church. That is a blessing. That is a sanctuary. That is our home. But the church is a lot more than that. And so when we look around, we see that God has called us to be a community, a church that is a community, that is caring for one another, that is praying for one another, that is encouraging one another, that is taking each other seriously and supporting one another when we need support, taking food to those who need food, looking after those like we did just recently. A young man came in from Austria into our community, absolutely homeless, looking for help, and us being able to place him in a hostel. It's about caring for our community. It's about caring for our young people. Please pray. Tomorrow we have a meeting here with some of the leading people from a local school, and amazing. They're coming to us to talk about how we can help them with the children in this community, the teenagers, especially those who are struggling and challenged. That's what a community is. A community is like that, and they're coming to our sanctuary, the head and the deputy head coming here to talk to us. Wow. Because we are a community, and they've appreciated what we've been able to do so far. But not only are we a community, we are a sanctuary. We are a sanctuary for those who need to just come and find a refuge. Sometimes someone just needs to come and have a cup of coffee and have someone care and chat and build them up for the next phase. Sometimes you just need to know, when you drive past or walk past or go past on the bus, that's my home. That's my sanctuary. I know I can go there and I will be welcome there. I will be loved there. I will be cared for there. And we all need that, all of us, at some time, to have a place to go and meet someone who will smile and encourage and who knows who we are and what we're going through. It's a sanctuary for those in the community that are hurting, that are really hurting, that are broken and need love and prayer. They find their way here. They'll come and say, can you pray for me? Can I come and pray in your sanctuary? I need a bit of space. I need to come out of the rain. It is a sanctuary for our community. And not only is it a sanctuary, not only is it a community, it is a lighthouse. Always remember Sound of Wales when they came and they had that vision and they said, this church will be a lighthouse to London and to the world. And that beautiful evening when we worshiped the Lord together with them, that remains today the same as it did back then when they came and pronounced that amazing blessing. This church is a lighthouse to Wandsworth. It's a lighthouse to the world. And now on Zoom, we are lighthouse all over the world. Why? Because God has used those who had faith to come and build a church here to be a blessing to London, to be a blessing to the community, so that we become a lighthouse sharing the message of Christ of salvation to the world around us. That's what faith looks like. That's what 2020, faith in 2020 looks like. And Abraham shows that. And very quickly, we see in Abraham exactly that. We see that Abraham was initially, when he was first called, God chose him to do three particular things. He was called to leave his country and his home. Sometimes God will call us to leave the place we're in to go somewhere different, even within the church. It may be to leave one area that we're working in, to go to another area, to serve him in something new, something different. Abraham obeyed. When God calls you to do that, don't hold back. Be ready to move, to work. And Abraham did that. He was also a blessing to others. In the book, as we look in Genesis and the story of Abraham, God said, I will make you a blessing to thousands and hundreds of thousands. The world will be blessed through you. And when we honor God, when we hear the word of God, believe the word of God, act on the word of God, we will become a blessing, not just to a few, but to many, because God will make the person of faith a blessing, because we will find what God has called us to do in the works of faith that he has prepared beforehand for us to do. And then Abraham obeyed. He knew that to act on faith, he had to obey what God called him to do. He had to be obedient to the word of God. And that is where we need to again come back to the Lord. We need to learn to obey. Now you might think, well, it's easy for Abraham to be someone who obeyed. He was an amazing man. No, Abraham was just like you and me. He was frail. He made mistakes just like you and me. And we see that in a story as we come to the last part of this message today. We see that Abraham teaches us that just as we walk in faith, God's grace will attend us even when we trip up and fall in the mud. Because we are frail, there will be times we make mistakes. There will be times when we mess it up. There will be times when we get lost and confused and we feel useless and we feel that we've let God down and we've let the church down and we've let everybody down and we feel just so broken inside sometimes. And we feel we'll never be like Abraham. But Abraham was like that. He messed up. And when you read the story of Abraham's life, it's incredible what he did. And yet God, in his sovereign grace, because what Abraham understood was he understood there was a bigger picture, a picture of obeying God to reach the big idea of God's salvation to the world. His focus at the end of the day was always about the big picture of salvation. Abraham got that. But on his way, he fell in the mud and he crashed. But God didn't leave him there. There was the time, for example, when we listen to his story, where in Genesis 12, and even going back to the early part of his story, where Abraham is because he's out there, because he isn't in his home and he's vulnerable, there's a drought. And so they go to Egypt. Sounds a little bit like the story of Joseph. He also ended up there because of the drought. But because of the drought, he ended up in Egypt. And his wife, Sarah, was so beautiful, he knew that they would want her. He knew that they would want to take her. And so he feared for his life. And he said to Sarah, when we get to Pharaoh, tell him you are my sister. Don't tell him you're my wife, because he'll kill me, because he'll want to take you for his own. And Abram lied to Pharaoh, and he almost got into the danger of trafficking his own wife for this to exist. He tripped up under pressure. And he said, I'm going to fix it my way. And that's where we all make a mistake. Even when we see and we are walking towards our salvation and our hope in Christ, when we try to do it our way, when we try to fix it my way, that's when the problem comes. And Abram tried to fix it his way, and he fell. And because of that, plagues came and discomfort came. And God protected him in his brokenness, in his mistake, and somehow rescued Sarah from Pharaoh, and things got better, and he came out better on the other side. But it didn't just stop there. The same thing happened again when he was, going through so many things. He thought, you know, I should have children, and Sarah this time tried to fix it her way. He knew that God was beginning to say, I will bless you, I will give you children, and I will bless the world through your children. And not just you, but you and Sarah, your covenanted marriage, I will bless you and your children. And it wasn't happening, so they decided to fix it their way. And Sarah says to Abram, take the slave girl, Hagar, and have a child through her, because you've got to have a child. And trying to fix it her way, she just caused more and more problems. And once that happened, there was, again, jealousy and brokenness and fear. And you remember how Sarah sent Hagar out into the desert almost on her own to die almost, because she just couldn't stand her anymore. All because Sarah was trying to fix the problem her way instead of just listening and waiting and having the patience to let God do it his way. But even in that problem, God and Sarah and Abraham, God had called them to a bigger picture, the picture of salvation for the world. And they knew there was a big picture. And they tripped up and they fell. There was a third time, again, Abimelech. Abraham says the same thing. He says, when we get there, tell him you are my sister, because he'll kill me because you're so beautiful. He hadn't learned the first time. And he had to learn the lesson again. How frail are we? How frail was Abram? He was an ordinary person. And just like you and I make mistake after mistake after mistake, and we fall in the mud, God picked him up and put him on the course to salvation. Why? Because he saw the big picture. He had heard God's word. He had obeyed him. He was trying to obey God all the while. And that's the lesson of Hebrews 11. These were ordinary men and women who, like you and I, saw the big picture. They saw the salvation of God through the cross. They saw the salvation of God through what God was trying to do. But they fell short so often. But God never left them there in the mud. You know, in closing, I want to share, there's a lovely verse in Hebrews, in Ephesians chapter 2, I think verse 8 and 9 says this, for it is by faith that you are saved, not by works, lest any man should boast, and it is a gift of God, is not of yourselves. And what that tells us is this thing called faith that we're talking about is something we can't make happen. We can't drum it up. We can't create it. It is a gift from God. The other night, as we were looking at this on Wednesday, I had just been watching a film called It Shouldn't Happen to a Vet, a beautiful film about a vet in Yorkshire. And on that particular show that I'd just been watching before the Bible study, this young man who was a vet had been given a present for his birthday from his mother, a scarf, a knitted scarf, and a cap. And he was kind of shy. When he was with all his friends in Yorkshire, in his practice with his friends, he didn't really want to put it on because they were throwing him a surprise birthday party. But they said, no, this is your mom's scarf. You put it on. And they made him put it on with the cap. He was a little embarrassed, but he was wearing it. And then I thought that sometimes we've got to understand this, that God has given us a gift. It's like it's wrapped up. And he's knitted it, and he's made it for you, and he's made it for me. And he's giving you the gift. But we still have to unwrap that gift. We still have to wrap it around ourselves. We still got to put it on. And there's a sense in which faith is like that gift. Faith is a gift from God. But we've got to unwrap it. We've got to put it on. We've got to be active in embracing the faith that God has given us. That's not works. That's grace. That's receiving in grace something that God has given us. The gift of faith. And sometimes while we're wearing the gift of faith, we will trip in the mud and fall, but we are still wearing that gift, and God will pick us up, and we will come to the communion table, and we'll be washed again, cleaned in the blood of Christ our Savior, ready for the next stage, because we see the big picture. Faith in Christ is what saves us. And it's that faith in action that produces the joy of living the Christian life. We are all called to follow the example of those men and women in Hebrews 11. We are called to be men and women of faith and to step out in action. God, help us to be like that. Help us to be individuals who follow and act out our faith in action. Help us to be a church that follows God and isn't afraid to step out with faith in action and to see great things for the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. May God bless you. We're going to close in reflection on this whole question of faith by looking at a beautiful hymn called Be Thou My Vision, because when faith really catches on and catches fire, we then find what God calls us to do. And we then find a vision. And the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. But with vision, we will conquer the world for Christ. We will be victorious for Christ. So come, let us stand and let us quietly sing in the chapel and online this beautiful hymn of faith, Be Thou My Vision.